All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos coming to you all the way live here from the barrio here in my house about Mormons, part 7 in our lesson study, or I guess we could just say our topical lesson through the studying the book titled Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin, edited by Ravi Zacharias. By the way, rest in peace, Brother Ravi. He went to be home with the Lord a couple weeks ago. Died, unfortunately, to cancer and some other ailments. Great man of God, Ravi Zacharias, was defending the faith, defending the Lord Jesus Christ, traveling the world. And so want to keep his family in prayer at this time as they're mourning still the passing of a great man and the Christian family, but most of all to their personal family. And so I definitely thank God for the works that he's done. I'm going to go ahead and open up this video, though, with an awesome, quick, animated gospel presentation. Shout out to Brother Ed Worth from the KJV Bible Scope. Amen. Let me go ahead and get this ready for you guys so you guys can be encouraged by today's video. Amen. Give me 1 second here. And we're going to start it now. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing that was. I am so thankful for Brother Ed Worth's amazing work that he does for the Lord. So shout out to Brother Ed from Bible Baptist Church out there in Deland, Florida. And before we continue, just want to give a shout out for those of you guys that are watching us online on our broadcast here. I want to redirect your attention to the live stream. We are currently live streaming through YouTube, Facebook Live on our church page, Periscope, and eventually we upload these on a podcast. And for those of you guys who'd like to visit, just click on any of these hyperlinks that will redirect you to our teachings. And I definitely want to always encourage you to check out our recent church services, Sunday services and Sunday school, so you can hear our latest teaching. I definitely want to plug in our recent teaching. A lot of it's a pretty relevant message concerning what's going on today. Preaching versus protest. I encourage you to check that out when you have time, and hope that'll be a blessing to you. All right, now with that said, church, hope you guys are tuning in online with us, and I just want to say thank you. We are going to pick up where we left off in our study of the Kingdom of the Cults about Mormons, page 226, and so let's go ahead and continue here. Reading the book, it's been an eye opener, I should say, in regards to finding out a little bit more about Mormons. What do they believe in, and why? and why it is important for you as a Christian to understand other religions, what do they believe in, and why is that important to them. And then ultimately, when you figure that out, it should strengthen your faith in the Word of God so you can understand how to answer them, how to debunk their teachings, their theologies, their methods of interpretation, because you know what it is they believed and why. You know the resources and the sources they quote to support their doctrines, and you know how to properly handle it and properly disprove it, because obviously you're trusting that the Word of God is going to be more authoritative and where you're going to get its truths. And so we're studying and learning from great men that have studied different religions and cults and have written down the information for us in the book. Praise the Lord. Help us with a lot of study time. All right, so with that said, 226 here in the Purple Book, and we're going to continue here. All right, so finally, we're going to pick up here in the fourth paragraph, I should say. Finally, students of Mormonism must, in the last analysis, measure its content by that of Scripture, and when this is done, it will be found that it does not speak according to the law and the testimony. You can cross-reference that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse number 20. As a matter of fact, let's see if I can open up the Bible software so we could see the verses being quoted by Brother Walter Martin. Of course, you guys know me, Brother Carlos, going to use the King James Bible, God's perfect word, and my humble, unbiased opinion. And that way y'all can be encouraged multi-simultaneously so we can cross-reference those verses together so we can see Bible versus what they teach and believe, etc., etc. All right, let's see if I can open this up also with my stream. Give me 1 second, everybody. Let me try this out and see how this works out. Let's see. I'm going to try to capture this window here. Oh, awesome. Oh, praise the Lord. There you go. All right, look at that. So I can definitely show the Bible software at the same time. Praise the Lord for that. Let me go ahead and just kind of make it a little bit. I guess I can't. Let me see if I can do my best to get the layout here a little bit not kind of stringent here. Give me 1 second, friends. Let me just go ahead and want to make some of this available. There you go, right there. And let me get that bigger there. Let me just go to move. There you go. So that way we can see the material we are reading and then still have enough room so that way we can see the Bible software at the same time. And then let me just go ahead and make the Bible reading software just a hair bit bigger so we can see the verses a little bit clearer through the broadcast here. Give me a couple of more seconds here, friends. Let's try this out. Let's see how this works out. Oh yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. So so Brother Martin just quoted here. For those of you guys that can see in the book material, finally, students of Mormonism must, in the last analysis, measure its content by that of Scripture. When this is done, it will be found that it, in reference to Mormon doctrine, does not speak, and he's quoting Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. So let's go ahead and pull up Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, so you can see what the Word of God states and why he does use this as a verse reference to the material being referenced here. All right, so Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, the Word of God states, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, do you see that? It is because there is no light in them. How about that? You know, I do love that verse because I love how Pastor James W. Knox from Bible Baptist Church of DeLand, Florida, my Bible school pastor, uses that verse in order to demonstrate, you know, these modern day false prophets and modern false apostles. When they want to quote God speaking to them, God's speaking to them. But the Lord already told you, it's according to his word. The word of God is already established. We don't have to worry. And so obviously Mormon doctrine, same thing with all the other cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc., etc. They all have extra scripture that's not in accord with the already written, revealed word of God. Wherever it is quoted in their textbooks, obviously they add extra details that are not in the word of God. Hence, they mutilate it, falsely quote it, and obviously it's just false. It's satanically inspired, not Holy Ghost inspired. All right, the book continues to state, and it is to be rejected as a counterfeit revelation, doubly condemned by God himself. And Brother Walter uses the scripture reference here, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Let's go to Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to go through verse 8 and 9. All right, the Bible says here, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Two times the Holy Ghost lets you know, Christian, for those of you guys that are born again and saved biblically, the Holy Ghost already warned us over 2,000 years ago that if any man, notice that, irrelevant of skin color, I just had to plug that in there, today's generation, you know what's going on. Any man, okay, if they claim extra divine revelation that's not already in the written, revealed word of God, you know what Paul, an apostle and servant of our Lord and Jesus Christ, said, along with the other apostles in agreement. If there were to be an extra divine revelation that contradicts the already revealed revelation given to the apostles, God says, let that man be accursed. I'm telling you, friend, without a shadow of doubt, by the authority of the Word of God, I'm not claiming to be a prophet, I'm not a false pastor like Kenneth Copeland or any of these fellows out there. You know, Brother Carlos, I'm a fundamentalist, keep it godly, keep it OG, keep it biblical. But I'm going to tell you by the authority of this here Bible that every single Mormon is cursed, point blank. All right, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm gonna keep it G. I'm gonna keep it raw. I'm gonna keep it 100% organic. I'm not gonna put any GMOs from the modern contemporary Christian approach of the Roman Catholic ecumenical movement there. Every Mormon, every Jehovah Witness, every Seventh-day Adventist, every one of these cults that has extra inspired revelation by their supposed originator or false prophet, be it a female or male, I don't care. When they claimed hundreds of years ago they have received extra words from God, either another gospel or an addition of details to the already stated gospel in the Bible, you know what that Holy Ghost already told you? Let him be accursed, point blank. Look at that. Even if an angel were to come down of his own accord, and that's an angel, straight out, and tell an apostle, Peter, we're going to give you some more information, but don't tell Paul, don't tell James, this is just you and I, let him be accursed. You see, Paul wasn't alone. Look at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any of the gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. You see, friend, you just need to stay focused with the already written, revealed word of God. You need to trust the Jesus of the Bible, God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16 in your King James Bible, and trust the words that are in that Bible. You don't need to rely on the supposed extra revelation given to prophets such and such, apostles such and such. All of them are false. No living apostle today, no living prophet today. I'll debate any of them any time of the day, point blank. I know enough of this Bible to be able to feed anybody who's hungry and to correct anybody who is obviously lazy and who wants to challenge and doubt. Because I believe God's word is so good and so holy and sufficient to teach you the truth that if I just present you the material, I'm pretty sure it'll do its job if you're willing to have it as your authority and put your faith in it. So God said it, not me. Let's keep moving on. Joe Smith, the author of this quote, Revelation, was perfectly described, as was his reward, in the Word of God almost 3,300 years before he appeared. It would pay the Mormons to remember this message. We're going to read now. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." Now, what is Brother Martin quoting? He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Let me go ahead and get it here on our Bible app as well, so that way y'all can follow along with us. Deuteronomy chapter 13 is what Brother Walter Martin is quoting. And let's just read it together, all the way through verse number 10. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder," notice how the dreamer of dreams or the prophet is the source of it, And the sign of the wonder come to pass, whether he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. That's what God told the Israelites as they were eventually to live in the land of Canaan. And Moses would eventually depart. God will raise up Joshua. They already have the law. They already have God's words sufficient for them, the law and stones. And he's forewarning them of these false prophets that are going to rise, trying to talk about, God spoke to me, fellas. God told me, come follow me. You know that law, it's not sufficient. I got the latest and the greatest update. Continue. Or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments. And watch this. Obey his voice. You know what it means to keep the commandments of God? It is to obey his voice, which is clearly revealed in his word. Come on, y'all. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death point blank. God doesn't have no time to take this fellow to court. You blaspheme in his name. You try to speak on the behalf of the great most high God, creator of the heavens and the earth. The Lord's going to take you out point blank. He's going to take you out. How dare you try to disrespect God by claiming to speak in his name, something that he never, never spoke to you about personally. Obviously confirmed it through the mouth of two or three or more. Because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife, or thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, how about that? Notice what God already forewarned the Hebrews, and we can take application today, Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Christian. Notice, friend, that member in your local church, notice that Christian from your other church, they're going to secretly entice you. They're not going to reveal to you this information in front of your pastor because they know your pastor most likely knows more than you and will check that fool straight with the word of God, rebuke him, tell him to get up on out of here. We don't got time for that. They're going to lure you secretly. They're going to take you on the side. They're going to say, come over to my house. Let's have a cup of tea, you know, sing a little kumbaya with our feet, you know, crisscross and listen to some Hillsong. Come on, y'all. And then they're going to give you their secret doctrine. Come on. Saying, let us go and serve the gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Namely, of the gods of the people, which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Hardcore, God's law for the Israelites, how about that? Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. You know what the Lord said there? That Hebrew living in the land of Canaan has a buddy, right? Brother Ben Joseph and Brother Ben Abraham. I don't know. Let's just think of two names, okay? And then, you know, Brother Ben Zechariah comes along the way, hangs out with them for a little bit. But, you know, Zechariah, unfortunately, has been hanging around the Gentiles, you know, because they're kind of cool. You know, they have the latest and greatest, you know, technology, you know, they dress, you know, differently. They listen to different music. And, you know, Zechariah is kind of like, man, I want to be like that. Zechariah hangs out around these Gentiles a little too long. And before you know it, he starts learning the Canaanites' ways of living, practice, food, diet, culture. And he tries to, you know, look like them by putting on the earrings, you know, wearing the tight clothing, doing all this that the modern mega church pastor's doing today, you know, because they're trying to be hip and cool, you see. You know what that Bible says? As soon as Joe and Abraham find out about Zechariah, I'm just giving you an analogy, you know, I'm making this up, but I'm just giving you, you know, a hypothetical analogy here. You know what God said? You're going to be the first one, since that friend told you about this secret revelation, you're going to be the first one to put your hand on that friend, take him out, point blank, and then everybody else. How about that? That's God's law for the Israelites living in the land of Canaan. Keep going. Verse 10. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You say, Brother Carlos, that sounds so cruel. Are you sure that's what it means? Praise God. I'm a Bible believer. I'm not a modern textual scholar that's going to try to tell you any other meaning. That's right. You know, that God of that Bible, he's a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. He does not want to share his glory with any other. He's not going to let Satan or these fallen angels manifest themselves through these religious practices of the day to try to portray something that is of the one true God. Man, God is so holy, so pure, so righteous. He wants to take anybody out that's going to misrepresent his name and his word, and especially if it gets somebody from trusting him. No wonder, Christian, why the Lord Jesus Christ himself would tell us later on, written in the New Testament, that if any of these little ones were to be stumbled, that were to believe in him, the person that stumbles that little one from believing in him, it were better if a millstone were hanging about his neck. Lord will take you out. One day he's gonna have a serious conversation with all these folks that misled millions. All right, let's continue in the book here. All right. Okay, so, all right, the Book of Mormon stands as a challenge to the Bible because it adds to the Word of God and to his one revelation, and the penalty for such action is as sobering as it is awesome. Revelation 22, 18 through 20, the Word of God states here, let's go ahead and pull it up here on our Bible software, Revelation 22, 18 through 20. I like how Brother Martin is using the King James Bible, praise the Lord. All right, Revelation 22, 18 through 19. Look at what that Word of God states here. For I testify unto every man, how about that, everybody, doesn't matter, that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. You're hearing. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. I believe that, church. I believe every supposed church father, church scholar of the Roman Catholic Church, or any other churches or isms of men that wants to represent the true Christianity, every single one of them that took words out of his manuscripts purposefully, added words to his manuscripts purposefully, hence modern Bible versions, I believe God is going to have judgment on those souls who knowingly did it, purposefully did it. He's going to handle business. He's going to add those plagues. That's what he said. You got to believe God at everything, church. You can't just take the good side of God without the judgment side of God. Verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. I believe that. Best be careful when you try to mess with God's words. That's why us fundamentalists are trying to tell you, wake up, wake up. It is, the last verse there. Let's just read it from the book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So the Lord said that. You better watch it. All right, it does no good for the Mormon to argue that Revelation 22, 18 through 20 only pertains to the book of Revelation, since this serves only to prove our point. In the 1981 edition of the King James Version of the Bible, published by the Mormon Church, they have no less than 45 verses footnoted in the book of Revelation where Joe Smith added and took away from the words of the book. These footnotes are conveniently noted as JST, Joseph Smith Translation, beginning at Revelation 1:1, and ending at 19:21. He truly did what the Apostle John warned against. Smith both added to and took away from the book of Revelation. That's hardcore. See, I'm telling you, friends, I'm learning with you. All right, I read this book a long time ago, and this information is historical information. I'm telling you, I thank God for Christian men who studied, went through the labors of finding out a little bit more about other religions and cults, put that information down so folks like you and I today can just read it, and we don't have to go through it. They did the hard work. Look at that. Joe Smith, the Mormon Church, they took my holy Bible that I love, but they put their little stupid footnotes at the bottom to try to promote their doctrine. Hence, that's what your textual scholar does today with your modern version. I just had to plug that in. Okay, let's keep going. We need not make this a personal issue with the Mormons, but a historical and theological issue, which, for all the politeness and tact demonstrably possible, cannot conceal the depth of our disagreement. Even the famous witness, quote, to the veracity of the Book of Mormon are impugned by their own history. This does not speak well for the characters of those concerned or for their reliability as witnesses. It was Joe Smith who declared theological war on Christianity when he ascribed to God the statement that branded all Christians sex as, quote, all wrong, their creeds as abominations, and all Christians as corrupt, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That's Joe Smith from History 1:19. The onus of hostility rests upon the Mormons and their history a persecution largely the result of their mouthing of Smith's abusive accusations and their practice of polygamy may be properly laid at their own doorstep. They were the initial antagonists, not the Christian church. We do not excuse those who persecuted the early Mormons, but in a great many instances, those who were involved were provoked to action by Mormon excess. Note, an example of this would be the Mormon expulsion from Jackson County, Missouri. We may safely leave the Book of Mormon to the judgment of history and Mormon theology to the pronouncements of God's immutable word. But we must speak the truth about these things and keep foremost in our minds the fact that the sincerity of the Mormons and their faith is no justification for withholding just criticism of that faith or its refuted source, the Book of Mormon and the revelations of Joseph Smith. I agree, Brother Walter. You cannot just put aside theological differences just because they're a nice guy or a nice girl and they dress modestly. They don't curse at you. They don't yell at you. As a matter of fact, they'll pick up the rake and help you clean your dang on front yard. I don't doubt the politeness of the human conscience that God dispensed to all men, good and evil. All men have the opportunity to display good and evil. As a matter of fact, the Lord clearly taught men can do good. They can do evil. As a matter of fact, let me just share with you real quick, because some of you guys will be like, well, Brother Carlos, can you show me where the Lord said that? I will. Just look up to the screen quickly. Watch this. Let's go ahead and write this here. Not write. Let's just go ahead and type. Let's see here. Search this verse here. I just thought about it, but thank God for technology. Oh, here we go. Ah, look at this. I found it. And also, it's two verses. It's paralleled in Matthew 7:11 and Luke 11:13. Let's go ahead and read the first one here, Matthew 7:11. All right, the Lord says here, Matthew 7, verse number 9. We'll read the first one, and then we'll read the Luke one. He says in Matthew chapter 7, "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Do you see that? Let's go to the other reference there in Luke. Luke 13. Very similar. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish? Or will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" How about that? So see, people have the opportunity and they have the potential to be good and or to display good acts, good morale, good characteristic to those around them. But again, theologically speaking, what are we referencing? We are referencing the truth in regards to the theology that they present. You understand? All right, let's continue. The truth must be spoken in love, but it must be spoken, bottom line. The theology of Mormonism, we'll just read one more page. We'll call it a day. I got to get out of here quickly. I only had time to do a short scope. Got to go pick up my wife here from work. The Mormon Church, almost from its inception, has claimed what no other church today claims to possess. That is the priesthoods of Aaron and Melchizedek. Aaron and Melchizedek. You guys seen them. You know what they say. The Mormons maintain that Joe Smith and Oliver Cowdery received the Aaronic priesthood from the hand of John the Baptist on May 15, 1829, and that the, quote, Melchizedek priesthood was conferred upon Joe Smith and Oliver Cowdery through the administration of Peter, James, and John shortly after the conferring of the Aaronic order. In the theology of Mormonism, both the Melchizedek and Aaronic orders are considered to be one priesthood without beginning of days or end of years. You can read that in Doctrines and Covenants 84:17. And through the authority of this priesthood alone, they maintain men speak and act in the name of the Lord for the salvation of humanity. In order that this may be clearly understood, the following quotation from the leading Mormon volume on the subject of the priesthood must be considered. I'm going to leave the quote there so you can read it, but I'm going to have to call it a day here. I'm going to go pick up my beautiful wife from work. But other than that, friends, you guys can clearly see it's quite obvious here from the study of today's material. Again, the Mormons have some cray-cray doctrine. For those of you guys who don't know that, that is crazy. Satanic, Antichrist, point blank. We showed you scripture. We showed you Bible. We showed you what they have and what they believe from their extra heretical materials. Don't be afraid to check them. Don't be afraid to let them know. We know you're letting them know out of love, but you got to let them know. All right. Brother Carlos tuning out, y'all. Peace.